seriously popular.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to your It's All Kicking Off weekend preview show. Chris is here. Chris, we can finally take a breather from the domestic football. Premier League, FA Cup. It's been helter-skelter the last couple of weeks. You ready for a couple of quieter days?
No, I don't want a breather. And pointless, or nearly pointless, international friendlies. It feels like a week off. I don't like it.
I just felt after the Manchester City-Liverpool game and then the Manchester United-Liverpool game that my head was spinning a little bit. I didn't even go to this. Didn't even go to the second one. Anyway, look, I don't want...
So you're thinking more about you than, you know, the actual game.
Come on, you've been doing this podcast with me for the best part of a season now. You should know that most of it is all about me. Listen, anyway, don't be too kind of phlegmatic and ambivalent about international football, because we're about to spend the next 15 minutes talking about England versus Brazil. So come on, we need you up for it. So the countdown to the Euros starts here, 3 months just about, till England play their first game in Germany. And there is, as there always is, a growing feeling that England can win it this time. And I'm only laughing because we've said this many, many times before.
But yes, and if you look at England's squad and compare it to other squads around Europe, you would look at maybe the French squad,
yeah,
I think, and think maybe they just edge England, or it's very, very close. But countries like Germany and Spain, who were absolute juggernauts 10, 20 years ago, you look at their recent performances and think they aren't what they were. Even Portugal, I think, have some talented players, but they're on the decline. So England have a real opportunity here.
Yeah, juggernauts with missing wheels, some of those other traditional superpowers, I would say. Now, one of the great things for England and for Gareth Southgate at the moment, fingers crossed, touching wood and all the rest of it, is that apart from a couple of issues, all his big players are fit and most of them are in really good form. We are 3 months away. There's plenty of time for things to go wrong. But at the moment, you look at this squad, it looks like a squad bursting of energy, bursting with talent, bursting with young, hungry players who are raring to go. But I want to, and you know, it was great to see the photographs coming out of St George's Park yesterday. You know, Joe Gomez back in the squad after suffering that awful injury with England 4 years ago. Kobe Mayne, who's in the squad, the Manchester United player. Cole Palmer's in the squad. Anthony Gordon's in the squad. James Maddison's in the squad. Phil Foden's in the squad. These young, brilliantly gifted technical players. And I'm now beginning to sound like one of those people who gets far too excited before a major tournament. But I don't care, because you can't help but look at those players and think, yep, there's some real talent and, more importantly, depth in that squad. I want to say one thing to you, though. I want to bring it down a little bit. And I was looking yesterday at the last squad that we took to a major tournament and really, really thought we could win it, which was perhaps the Euro.
That's you journalists, that's every tournament.
Yeah, and we did hype up the Golden Generation 20 years ago, we did. But then the Golden Generation themselves were quite happy to buy into that hype, I seem to remember. Weren't too many shy and retiring individuals in Sven-Göran Eriksson's squad 20 years ago. But the squad that went to Portugal in 2004 to play in the Euros We were fancied to do well. The team that started that tournament, I'll quickly run through it. In a traditional 4-4-2 that Sven Jørn Eriksson liked to play, it was David James, Gary Neville, John Terry, Sol Campbell, Ashley Cole, David Beckham, Stephen Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Paul Scholes, Michael Owen, Wayne.
That's a winning team.
Wayne Rooney. Now, there will be some pedants out there who picked me up on the fact that Ledley King started the first game. John Terry came in for the second one. So that was essentially the team. Now, that team got knocked out in the quarterfinals. So if that team can't win a European championship, why would we expect this one to? Because that was a hell of a team.
That was a hell of a team on paper and on grass, in fairness. But it's knockout football, knockout competition. The point you make at the start about the strength of that team, that's an incredible team on paper. It is. I mean,
and it never got close to winning anything.
Well, just look at the midfield. But then think of, you know, made the point a few minutes ago about the strength of other nations. Portugal were, an excellent team. And in a one-off game, these things happen, don't they? You know,
I think my point is just to illustrate how difficult it is to win a major tournament, even if you have a stellar team. And I keep hearing people talk about how England are almost going to walk through this tournament in Germany. And it just makes me think that it's just so much more difficult than that. Anything, whether it's an injury to a big player or lack of form or maybe some tension within the camp that you don't know about, it just makes it difficult. And sometimes I think we need reminding that in all these years that have passed since we last won a tournament in 1966, we've had other good teams before that haven't done it. That's my point. I think one of the things that we do have in our favour now is I think we have a better manager. I want to say better manager. Sven Jørn Eriksson's pedigree was beyond question when he came to the England job. He had a brilliant CV. But I do think that Gareth Southgate has managed to find a formula within the England camp, a formula of happiness and contentment and a unity of purpose that I think was beyond Sven. And it was beyond other England managers previously. And I know we talk about it a lot, but you've been in dressing rooms and you will know how important that is. The days of England the days of Liverpool and Manchester United players sitting on separate tables in the canteen at England meetups, for example, have gone. And I think when you're talking about small differences, small percentages, I think that is one of the things that really does work in our favour now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and the way that that this relationship which Gareth has built, I think, with the media, and that was before the World Cup in Russia, I think has been brilliant from Gareth in the way he's been able to you'd know better than me. I mean, you know, you're part of the media, but there was this sort of tension, wasn't there, for so long between the media and the England team. And now it seems to be more harmonious. And I think that this England team, under Gareth or since he's gone in, have been, really open. And I do think that has helped. But it's all about making that that final step. And, Gareth has come close. And I think that we are both of the same opinion about Gareth, and the job that he's done has been, more than good. But there's a lot of negativity, isn't there, towards Gareth Southgate. And he does need to win a major tournament, I think, to maybe satisfy, a crowd out there who just aren't having him and who think that he's too negative in the way that he plays and sets up.
Just to touch on what you said there about the media, I did an interview with Gary Neville a year or so ago, and we touched on that. And Gary told me, Gary himself, hardly slow in coming forward, hardly fragile mentally or emotionally. He told me that when he first played for England, he used to be scared of the media. Actually scared of the written media, in terms of he thought they were just waiting to pounce on the team. And he said he found some of the characters that he had to deal with back then intimidating. I don't think that's the way now.
He was including you.
No, I wasn't covering England. He certainly wasn't including me, no. So what I wanted to ask you mentioned Gareth and he mentioned a bit of perception. Where are you in terms of what Gareth should do between now and the tournament? In previous tournament years, going back through time, through other England managers, always slightly frustrates me that managers still experiment with their team in the run-up to the tournament, whereas I would much prefer to see an England team that pretty much knew what it was and was playing together in the games running up to the tournament. So, and where are you on that? So against Brazil on Saturday at Wembley, do you want to see the team that starts in the summer, or do you want to see Maino in there? Do you want to see Anthony Gordon in there? Do you want to see some experimentation or not? Because I don't.
No, I don't, for the reasons which you've just gone through. I've always preferred consistency in selection. And look, they're all excellent players. Whoever Gareth picks, they're all excellent players. But it's about the sort of finer details and the finer understanding of when it comes around to tournament football, everything clicking and being in sync and combinations and whatever that level of understanding between the players. So chopping and changing. And I've always hated that with international games when there are multiple changes. It's a massive turn off for me. So I hope Gareth doesn't experiment too much. I just wonder, and you'll probably have a better opinion than me on this, or a stronger opinion than me, whether he is at all influenced by Premier League managers in terms of how many minutes, or not just Premier League managers, but in terms of how many minutes he plays certain players. But I think Gareth right now, he should be selfish. He should just think about, just focus on purely trying to win the Euros and not to sort of sod the Premier League managers, but just be in a position where he just thinks solely about his England team and winning a major tournament, because that is what he is in, or, you know, that's what he's in place to actually do. That's where he got the job, to take England to the next level. And to do that, I think he has to be selfish. And there'll be Premier League supporters out there, not just Premier League supporters, because there are players from other countries as well, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham and what have you, who their managers will want to limit their game time. But I think Gareth should do what he wants to do.
As far as I'm concerned, there are only two positions up for grabs in that England team, and it would be at left back and around whether Gareth wants to go with a second holding player next to Declan Rice, or
if Luke Shaw plays, doesn't
well, if Luke Shaw is not due to return from Manchester United until right at the back end of the season, and Gareth said last week that he's aware that could be a problem. So you can kind of do one of Trippier, stroke Chilwell, stroke Shaw at left back, and then the only other position, as far as I'm concerned, is whether you play someone next to Rice or whether you pick a play a little bit further forward. As far as I'm concerned, that's it. I don't know about you, which is a great position to be in. Great position to be in.
Yep.
Very, very quickly, Gareth Southgate is on Sir Jim Ratcliffe's list as potential replacements for Erik ten Hag at Manchester United. Gareth has said publicly that he doesn't want to talk about a new contract at the FA until after this tournament is over. Should the FA be concerned about that? Or do we think Gareth's time probably has run, and it might be time to turn the cycle and start again with somebody else?
Well, if he goes and wins the Euros, why would you want to change? If Gareth had his head turned by Manchester United, and we all know the way things work, if there's been initial contact, then he may well find it very difficult to turn Manchester United down, but. I'm not one of these people in a hurry to get rid of Gareth Southgate as England manager. I know there seems to be plenty of people out there, plenty of snipers who, don't rate him at all as England manager. I just look at the job which he's done when he first came in, the mess he took over, where he's taken England to World Cup semi-final, to a Euros final, penalty kick away from winning the Euros. So over the piece, I think Gareth's done very well. You look at that squad, the team, going into the Euros, and he will know, Gareth, that he has a right chance.
And it's interesting that, some Manchester United fans have reacted quite negatively to the suggestion that he is under consideration to replace Erik ten Hag next season. They clearly think that a guy who finished 12th and 13th in two seasons with Middlesbrough back in the day and then got relegated the next season is not fit for purpose in terms of their club.
That's ridiculous.
Which is interesting.
Deserves far greater respect, Gareth Southgate. Just remember the Tottenham fans who were, what, hashtag Postecoglou out before he'd gone in at Tottenham?
Yeah, remember that?
Ridiculous. Who are these fools?
Remember last week when we talked about snobbery in English football? Well, there's a dose of it right there.
Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now, Brazil are the visitors to Wembley on Saturday, 7 o'clock kickoff. There'll be a live blog of that game running across Mail Online. If you can't find yourself in front of your television or you're not going to be at the game, make sure you stay tuned to that because you've got everything that you need to know there. Now, Brazil aren't going to play in yellow. Brazil are going to play in blue. They're going to play in their away shirt, which feels like a bit of a shame. When you see Brazil rock up, you want to see them in the yellow, don't you? You want to be thinking of Pele and Zico and all the rest. You don't really want to be watching a team that looks like an imitation of Everton. Although having had a look at their squad, by the way, that might not be too far away from the truth. Well, let's talk about the kit first. Are you agitated by that? Should they be in yellow?
No, don't care.
Why not?
Because I don't. That's their away kit. Brazil are playing away. Let them play in what they like.
What interests me is that there will be an obligation to their kit manufacturers, which are Nike. There'll be an obligation to wear their blue kit so many times in terms of to meet the terms of the contract. But when you think of it commercially, I can't help but think that if a load of people watch Brazil playing in yellow on the telly or at the game, then it makes them more likely to go and buy a yellow away kit. Don't think many people see Brazil playing in blue and think, oh yeah, I want to go and buy that one. Don't quite sure it works that way.
I'm not sure anybody thinks like that.
I think they do. I think that's exactly how they think. But while we are on the subject of kits, okay, and I'm irritated by this, you may know from the conversation we had before this podcast started. England have launched a new kit ahead of the Euros, as have just about every other competing nation. It's what they do. So two things that I feel slightly grumpy about. The first is the cost. So in England, if you want to buy the maximum or the kind of stellar, top-of-the-range, dry-fit advantage England kit, whatever that means, it's £125 for the shirt. And if you're a kid, you save a fiver. It's £119.99. If you want to buy what you might just call the bog standard England kit, the home stadium shirt, £85 for an adult, £65 for a child. A pair of shorts will cost you £33. A pair of socks will cost you £18. And if you want a name and a number on the back, it'll cost you another £18. See where I'm going with that, don't you? It's a lot of money.
Yeah. I've got to say, I see where you're going with it. I agree with everything you're saying. I think that is absolutely vulgar, the pricing and the costing. And bottom line is, you know, we've sort of been in a cost of living crisis, and England bringing out a kit and, you know, one kid gets it at school and then, you know, his or her mates will want to get that kit, and that puts, you know, puts families in a hell of a position. I mean, £33 for a pair of shorts. £18 for a pair of socks. Would you say that the most expensive shirt was £125?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
For a shirt, that's it's vulgar.
It is. It's worth pointing out. This is totally in line with what the Premier League clubs do. That's how much it costs to buy Premier League shirts.
Yeah, and that's vulgar
as well.
And
it's in line with what, and it's in line with what the other countries do. Of course it does, because all these kits are made by the same people. There's only two or three major kit manufacturers in the world. So they're all made by the same people. So they all cost the same. They've got the market cornered. But what has got under my skin this time is England's away kit for the Euros is purple. It's purple. We've never played in a purple kit before, as far as I'm aware. England's away kit traditionally has been red, obviously. K's, I think we've had kind of a pale blue one, right? But it's purple. So if you're a kid, or even if you're one of those adults who is sad enough to buy replica kits, you can't even, if you're a kid, you can't even go into this tournament in the summer wearing last year's red kit, because this year's away kit in Germany for the Euros is purple. It's exploitative nonsense.
What colour's your jumper?
It's exploitative nonsense.
What colour's your jumper?
What are you talking about? I'm wearing a shirt.
Shirt. What colour is it? It's purple.
It's not purple. It didn't cost £124.99, and it hasn't got my name on the back. And the socks I've got on certainly didn't cost £18.
I'm not so offended with the colour of it. I don't really understand things like this enough, but the kit manufacturers would have had it as a purple colour, and the design, and, you know, it looks nice. I don't know why you get so agitated about that. It's all about the cost for me, which I think is
I care about heritage. I care about tradition. So in the print edition of the
things change
in the print edition of the Daily Mail today and across our digital platforms, we're reporting the fact that Brazil will wear blue on Saturday. Alan Mullery, former England international, has talked about how he feels, doesn't understand why Brazil can't wear yellow. I get that argument, but at least blue is Brazil's traditional away kit, right? So we're just essentially turning our back on years of history and tradition just to put an extra kit onto the market to make some money. And I don't like it. I don't like it. And you touched on it yourself. I don't like the fact that when the summer term comes around and at schools across the country and the Euros are in view and a kid who turns up to play football in his or her red England away kit will be out of date. And there'll be other kids there who can afford the purple one, and you know the dynamics and you know how that works. And I just don't like it. Another thing that's triggered people about the England kit this morning is the way the Cross of St George has been positioned and redesigned on the collar. Now, I know that sounds a little bit strange, but I'm going to explain it. So Nike, the kit manufacturers, say on their own website, in terms of this publicity around the New England kit, they've described this as a playful update to the flag of St George appears on the collar to unite and inspire.
That's such a load of bollocks, though, isn't it? To unite and inspire by changing a flag. So it's not the Cross of St George.
So if I can explain it, if you imagine the traditional Cross of St George, a red cross, the design that appears on the rear collar of the England shirt has a red vertical strand, as you would expect, but the horizontal strand of the cross is not red. It's two shades of blue and purple. I know that sounds hard, but there's images all over the internet already about it. Won't be hard to go and have a look to find it. I know that sounds weird. Chris, you have seen it. What are your thoughts?
Well, so it's not the Cross of St George, is it? I do understand that there will be people out there who will say it's not representative when it's on an England jersey and shouldn't represent an England jersey. Okay, I do understand that. I'm not going to get angry about that. But for heaven's sake, you know, the manufacturer's Nike. I mean, could the FA have not just, you know, explained, well, why would you even need it explain the importance of getting the right flag? It isn't representative of an England jersey. I mean, it's like I don't know whether you watched The Apprentice, Lord Sugar, Ian, when they get sent out to do tasks, and it looks like a massive cock-up. It just does. What are they thinking doing that? But I'm not going to get angry about that. It's a kit design. But I do understand there will be a lot of people around the country who are going to say it doesn't represent England and shouldn't represent England. Yeah, and that's it.
I think there'll be contrasting views out there. One will be that, which is it's modern, it's new, it doesn't matter. It's still an England shirt. It's still got three lines on the front. It's still white. And then there'll be other view, which is that, well, but if you're gonna have the cross of St. George on the England kit, then it kind of needs to look like the cross of St. George. That would be the alternative view. I have to say, I'm a bit like you, Chris. I'm not as triggered about this as I am by the purple away kit, which, as we know, has triggered me a little bit. But what I would say is that this will become an issue. The FA will be asked to explain this. Gareth Southgate 100% will be asked about this when he does his pre-match press conference tomorrow before the Brazil game. Whichever player sitting next to him at the press conference tomorrow will be asked about it. Players will be asked about it after the game on Saturday. It will be talked about in the commentary during the game. It will be talked about before the game by the pundits on the television and on the radio. And you've got to ask yourself, why do it? Why expose yourself to all this noise and all this commentary? Why do it? Why not just have a red, if you want to have the cross of St. George on the kit, just have the cross of St. George. And if you want to have or make a nod to inclusivity and modernity, is that a word? Modernity on the kit, then fine. But maybe do it somewhere else. Maybe put a symbol somewhere else on the kit, a different colour, a fleck, something, a little tone somewhere, rather than do something which you know when you do it is going to upset some people.
Well, maybe they didn't know. Because it was made across the water, wasn't it? Or designed across the water, and that's the whole point. But, I mean, whoever designed it, screw your head on the right way, for God's sake.
The FA will have had sign-off on this, Chris. It's their kit. There's no way they're going to mark it. There's no way they're going to market a new kit without having eyes on it and without sitting there and talking about it. And this will have been discussed. And they obviously think this is a risk worth taking for the sake of doing something different. I would argue that it probably wasn't. Brazil's team, quickly. I mentioned before that they're not exactly at full strength. They're struggling anyway, Brazil. They are sixth in their World Cup qualifying group at the moment, behind Ecuador, behind Venezuela, behind Colombia. They'll probably qualify because I think six do qualify, but it shows that they have fallen from grace a little bit. This squad that will be at Wembley on Saturday will have no Casemiro, no Gabriel, the Arsenal defender, no Gabriel Jesus, no Martinelli. They've all withdrawn. No Thiago Silva, no Willian, no Fabinho, no Firmino. They'll have three uncapped goalkeepers in the squad.
You're not selling this well.
No, I'm just telling you what it is, mate. I mean, I haven't paid for a ticket. So I'm just telling you how it is. Richarlison is the top scorer in the squad with 20 goals. It's a slightly unglamorous Brazilian squad. Brazil are Brazil. They'll always carry that hint of glamour with them.
Brazil reserves, isn't it?
It looks like that. So we look for a dominant England performance, don't we? We look for England to get on the front foot and to play like one of the best teams in the world. That's what we want to see, isn't it?
Yep, and dominate a second string Brazilian team. And are we going to learn more about this, about Gareth's team with these next two games, Brazil and Belgium coming up? Maybe so, but I suppose there's always going to be this element now, however well England play, that this isn't the strongest Brazil side. So that will always be taken into account. But as I say, Gareth's focus has to be on his team, finding a rhythm. Let's have a team which mirrors the team which is going to start at the Euros and build and get get confidence from these next couple of games coming up.
Yeah, that's right. England, we should point out, play Belgium in the second of the two games next Tuesday. You're right. A victory over Brazil is a victory over Brazil, isn't it? It carries clout. It means something. So let's hope that they can attack it on the front foot and pull it off. And what a thought! Even if Gareth does play a strong team, his strongest team, what a thought it is. I touched on this at the start of the show, to have people like Cole Palmer and Anthony Gordon and Kobe Mainoo on the bench, waiting to come on and influence games, and Ollie Watkins and people like that. It really is. It's a fine time to be an England supporter, and fingers crossed that they put.
You think they can win it, Ian?
Yeah, we can win
finally,
it.
Finally, you don't. Oh, no, you always skirt around this.
Of course
stuff,
we can. Yeah. But as you said at the start of the show, in a roundabout way, there's always another team on the field. You know, it's the criticism for not beating Italy in the finals of the last Euros still rankles with me, because everyone seems to forget that there was another very good team on the field that day trying to stop England doing what they wanted to do. There's always another team on the field. There's always the vicissitudes of tournament play. Problems with injury and fitness and emotional strength and all the rest of it. All those things go into it. But yes, we can win the tournament.
And a lot of things rankle you. That's my take from this.
Why do I spend all my Thursday mornings getting so wound up about things? Never used to be like this. Right, there we go. That's the end of the show. Just before we go, on Mondays, it's all kicking off. We did talk about Ben White and his decision not to make himself available for this squad. And on Spotify, we started a poll about whether the door should remain open for Ben in the future. Should Ben White ever be selected for England again? That poll is still running. You can still go there and vote. At the moment, 57% of you say yes, Ben White should be offered a chance to play for England again in the future. I think Chris and I are both very much on board with that one.
Why close the door? We all make mistakes.
You more than most. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll be back on Monday in the studio, looking back at Brazil and forward to Belgium. Thanks for being with us. This has been your Thursday It's All Kicking Off preview show.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.